Welcome to In Game Chat for Saturday, June the 1st, 2024. It's season 18, episode 19, and I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Also, you can check out ingamechat.net for all the ways to get in touch with us. You can also find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We're streaming right now over on Twitch. Go to Twitch.tv and join in the chat room with everybody else. I see Lethal Migraine and AC Wraith in there. Lethal, we'll get to that. But that was one of the... I didn't say exactly what you said, but I remember when it was over. It wasn't even when it was over. It was when it halfway through. I was just like, boy... this is not shaping up. And I'll tell you what that is, everybody else listening and wondering, coming up in just a bit. But I share your sentiments there, Lethal. Well, always, but I do on this one. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go there to find us. You can also join us on Discord as well. Links to Discord and everything else can be found at our website. Go to ingamechat.net. Scroll to the bottom. You'll see the Discord link. You'll see all the links of everything that I've just mentioned on our main webpage, ingamechat.net. The N, by the way, is I-N, not the letter N. And then game chat. I wonder if you Googled the letter. What comes up? Hang on. There is apparently a TikTok called In Game Chat with just the letter N.
Hmm.
But it's giving me, it's like Russian words or something. I haven't clicked on it. It's just that's what's coming. In fact, we don't come up. Yeah, we don't come up when you look up that. The letter N game chat. We are not anywhere in that. They don't even give a like, hey, did you mean in game? Nope, nothing like that. So, yeah. Which I mean is fine. I'm just saying that that's not us. We are I-N-G-A-M-E chat. In game chat. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And yeah, we're going to get to the Sony State of Play coming up. Now, that was just, it's been 2 weeks since we've been here. And a lot has happened in those 2 weeks, which is strange. Because sometimes, I think leading up to that, it didn't feel like much was happening outside of that last week before we took a break. I was just like, not much going on. The week before that, of course, was the Microsoft stuff, the Sony stuff, there were things going on, but I don't know, a holiday week and there was plenty that came about and that came up, and we're going to get to it as soon as we can. We're going to go over what we played though. And I'll start with you, RJ.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly cause I always do.
Yeah.
Hang on. Hold up.
Nah, that's right.
Hold up. All right. What'd you play?
Pretty short, this time around, despite us being gone for 2 weeks, but it was mostly The Division 2.
Hey!
When I was playing,
right.
For the most part. You know, the loot, it was the loot aspect.
I don't mean really that's great anything. I'm just like, hey, that's a game I played. Because normally
back,
you throw out, you know, your GTAs online, which I don't play, your fighting games, I don't play.
But you watch.
Yeah, or your Dark Souls or your Elden Rings or anything like that, and mm-hmm. I don't play them. But there you go, Division, yes.
Yes, but I played that. Late to the party, of course, but it was free, so why not? And then friends of mine were playing, so I got
by
together
all
with them.
Means, yeah.
I got together with them, and
never give you crap over going free, man.
Yeah, so I started playing that and had a really good time with it. It was the loot aspect of it, really. That
yeah.
was that
yeah.
was a part of it. like I was saying last time I talked about the game, it was the not getting fond of anything I pick up because it'll switch out in no time flat. Mm-hmm. But I think I've locked it down to a my favorite primary weapon. I'm going to stick with that as far as I can. The classic M1A, that Garand type weapon.
Yeah.
But I'm having a lot of success with that weapon, so I'm going to keep up with that. And I haven't gotten the Warlords of New York part yet, but from what I'm told, it's a bunch of good story elements to get into, mm-hmm. and it kind of confirmed something I thought about the character Agent Kelso. There was something a little off about her when I looked at her in story mode and how she behaved and things like that, and it's indicating that something bad happens in mm-hmm. the DLC that I haven't.
And this is the sequel, right? This is Division 2.
Okay, yeah. Division 2. That something bad happens in the DLC that I haven't got to yet, but it might confirm any suspicions I had about that character. But playing it with friends, of course, always better playing with the friends, and that was had a good time doing that, helping them get in and out and get their levels up to proceed to the next part of the game. So had fun with that. The other thing I played was Balatro, and I had a run that just it basically broke my heart, man. I was on the brink of getting that second deck.
I've only beaten one deck.
I was on the brink of beating the second deck, but the problem was I had gotten this Joker. I forget the name, but I never remember the names of the Jokers that I played that I get. But this one would allow me to get a second bonus from the cards that I held in hand. So I had a card that would give me a planet card based on the hand that I scored with mm-hmm. last time, and it happened to be a straight. So I held that card. That card popped up in my hand over and over and over again. So by the time it gave me all the bonuses I got to, it gave me a level 12 on my straights. So it was the most powerful hand that I had. It was more powerful than a royal straight flush. Nothing would beat the straight in my set of mm-hmm. in my played hands, right? So I get to ante 7, and I've been getting through this whole run with nothing but straights. But I get to that next to last ante, and for the life of me, I could not get a straight out of all my efforts. I'm playing high cards over and over again, trying to get a straight that I want. And also had a Joker that would give me a 15 multiplier if I had zero discards.
Right.
So I'm looking to get zero discards and try to get as much
and to get a straight out of it.
And to get a straight.
And you couldn't get one?
And I could not get one. By the time it was all said and done, I had a pair of threes, a pair of fours, a pair of sixes, and I had nothing I could do could get that straight that I needed to get me to ante 8 to so I could get I could beat that blue deck. So,
straights, man, you know.
And think about a straight is not too hard to get. Well, except that last run, but yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously it goes in. I would say in Balatro it's a little bit different, but mm-hmm. Because you can have five of kind and stuff like that. But yeah. But as far as that's concerned, a straight is on the other side of difficulty. In other words, if there's a mid, you know, a mid where it's like, hey, this is average difficulty, and then you go up one, that would be where your straight sits as far as having to be able to make one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like your easiest is going to be like a pair or a flush.
High card, pair, two pair.
Well, your easiest would be high card, obviously. But I mean, I think your pairs, your flushes, those are going to come easier than your three of a kinds. Your four of a kinds.
Well, I don't know about a flush unless I have a tarot card present, because it was harder for me to get flushes than a straight.
Well, yeah, that and it depends on how your deck plays out whenever you're playing Balatro, because you can change so many aspects. Mm-hmm. The only way I would go with making a straight would be if I had the thing that says you can skip a number in the straight, you know, the Joker that lets you do that.
Was it the three finger?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember the names of them, but it's one. Well, I think. It's
but I know what they
fingers.
Do.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's one that allows you to skip a number in between the sequence, mm-hmm. so that you don't have to actually build a full straight. You can build.
You can get four cards and make a straight.
And make a straight out of it, yeah. Same thing with a flush. I mean, it gets better when you can do the thing where diamonds and hearts count for the same suit, mm-hmm. and spades and clubs count for the same suit. Mm-hmm. Then you can really go mad with some flushes. But I find it easier for me to make flushes and pairs. Straights, I can't even think of, and I'd have to go through the game and look, but I can't even think of a Joker card. I mean, even the one that lets you skip one in the sequence, I can't think of another card that I would want to build straights on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, this is how I'm going to build my playthrough, is to score with straights, because I feel that is just so throwing, you know, blindfolded dartboarding. You know what I'm saying? Where it's mm-hmm. like, maybe you got a shot, but yeah, because it's just so hard to build a straight sometimes.
Yeah, but the lower levels, it's so hard to build those. I mean, this
was, it is, I know.
Yeah, but I mean, this was just a lucky break for me, but it just happened to be a straight that I scored on. Now, if I had scored on a two pair or pair, mm-hmm. like I said, this thing got to level 12. I mean, I've never gotten a hand up that high before.
Yeah.
And it was all I was getting because of the Joker.
Oh, you got
had.
Straights up to level 12?
I got straights up to level 12.
Ooh, buddy.
Like I said, it was the highest. I mean, a Royal Straight Flush couldn't beat a straight
yeah.
in this run.
That's
so,
yeah. No,
so
totally.
I had to get straights on this whole run. So I've been getting it for six antes in a row. And then the seventh one, like I said, when I was on the brink, I could not get it.
I know.
I could not get it.
Heartbreaking.
Because I had every... You shouldn't lose. You should not lose on that, but...
It sucks,
I did. But those two games is what I played this week. So eventually I'll get back to it. Hopefully, if I ever get that Joker again. I think it was the one... I can only describe it. It was the one with the... I think it was a turban on the Joker's head.
I think it was that.
A purple turban on the Joker's
head. It's been a minute since I played Bellatrix.
Yeah. But I think that was the Joker that I got. And if I ever see that again, I'm going to see if I can get the lower level things built up. If I get something easier to get up to level 12, it might not be as big, but I can make a pretty good run with it at least. It got me to ante 7. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably jump back into Bellatrix at some point. I have not played it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I remember opening it up at some point and looking at, like, what are my options here on how to play this? Like, what's the next thing that I want to go after? And I looked at it, and I can't remember what it was, but I was like, I'm not really ready to jump in and do that and go through trying to beat that. Mm-hmm. Whatever, I don't know what it was, if it's beat every deck on red difficulty, or maybe it's beat a deck on every different difficulty type of thing. I don't remember.
In my case, I want to beat. I want to open up and beat all the decks that I can before.
Right, which I've done.
Difficulty. Yeah.
Except once I got to the end of it, of what was mainly there. In fact, what is given you at the beginning, before it goes into these strange decks, where it's just your regular black, yellow, green, blue, red deck type thing.
Yeah.
I went back to my main deck. I say my main one. I went back to the first deck, played it on a different difficulty, beat that, and it unlocked another new deck for me. And then the next requirement to unlock a deck, and I can't remember what it was, but there's another requirement to unlock the next deck, and I can't remember if it was beat.
I think it was something like along the lines of, don't use this type of hand, or something, you like do this without using something else.
No,
or something like that.
No, it wasn't. Well, I don't know. That may be the next.
It might be a Joker unlock.
That may be the next difficulty. I don't know.
Because
I don't know if it said beat these on red difficulty, which I had done once, or if it's, you know, beat every difficulty that's offered. I can't remember, but I just looked at it and I was like, I'm not really ready to do that. So I never did. But is that all that you
just
that's
it? It was a short list this time around. Yeah.
I guess it was short for me, but it was a lot of playtime. Mm-hmm. So first thing was, and I'm probably going to get this wrong in the order that I played it. I want to say I played something on Steam, but I don't remember. Oh, there was this free puzzle game that you could download on Steam. It's not free anymore. Mechanics Museum or something like that. It was a little puzzle game, but it was free. And so I just started digging around in that. It's no problem. No big deal. Nothing interesting, just something where a nice little early morning get you started game type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So wake up. Like, one of the things that I do when I wake up is I go through and I play. I have a word game on my phone that I currently have I mean, I can tell you. It's called Not Words. Mm. I've talked about it before, but I currently have a 733-day streak of not missing it. So first thing I'll do is I'll pop that open and I'll play my two puzzles that are on there. Mm-hmm. Then I'll load up Marvel Snap and grab my daily rewards off of that. You know, I do a lot of those little things right there. Mm-hmm. But then I'll sit down at the computer and either I will play a game of Marvel Snap on the PC or I will open up, I used to open up a puzzle game called Two Doors, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. It was a little puzzle game. And so I'll open that up, or I used to open up the House of Da Vinci. You know, if I had a new room game, maybe I would do that. But so I just open that up, play that. So whatever, no big deal. on Game Pass, I went and played Chance of Sinar, something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a game where you have to piece together the language. They'll talk to you. You know, and they come up as symbols, but you don't know what any of that means. Although when it repeats symbols, you kind of start to get an idea of, all right, that says, I'm pretty sure what they're talking, you know, given what the task at hand may be, I'm pretty sure I know what they're doing because.
Sounds like crypto quotes.
Maybe.
On a bigger scale.
I say it's really difficult. Maybe other people don't think that way, but. It was very annoying because I went and looked up something about it. I was trying to find where people talked about it or something because it's an older game. Mm. And somebody was talking about where it is very, very specific as to what it means, but yet they don't give you enough context to make that choice. Because there's one symbol that could either mean the sun or a higher, like God or the light or sun, light, God. Those are all different things mm-hmm. in the game. So if you've got one that says sun, it ain't going to register if it means light. If it means light and if it means sun and you're putting light or God or something like that, it's not what it is. But you have no way of knowing if that's the case or not, until you guess it correctly, I guess. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Just seemed a lot of chance. Well, you know, when I say Chance of Sinar, it's Chance, C-H-A-N-T-S. But it feels like it's C-H-A-N-C-E. It's a lot of chance. It's on Game Pass, and thank God it was, because I'm glad.
If you had paid money for this.
It was in my Steam cart the other week because it was on sale. Mm-hmm. And it was in the very positive rating on Steam. Okay. And it was in there. And I had played the demo. And the demo was good enough for me to think, hey, this is nice. Well, then when I got to the full game, I was like, well, wait a second. This is not. Mm-hmm. And it was so annoying for me to be hung up on that. Because I would get to puzzles that I'm like, ooh, a puzzle I can solve. But I can't solve without knowing the language. Because I could not understand what these symbols and different things meant. There were some that I was able to figure out, but there were others that I couldn't. And I really felt like I got to a point where it's like, I am stuck. And when I went and looked up some of these things, I was like, well, how do you come to that conclusion? How do you come to the conclusion that that means that? Where in the game did it tell you that? Now, I found something that just said, this means this. It didn't give me an explanation as to why. But that was one of my thoughts, was like, how far off am I on these guesses? And so I went and looked it up. I didn't care that I might be spoiling it for myself in the game, because basically I felt like I was, you know, stuck between a rock and a hard place. I couldn't move forward.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like basically it's a bunch of it's a crapshoot. Either you know it or you don't. And you just have to keep guessing until you get it.
And AC Wright says, this is the first bad thing I've heard about it. I mean, I'm not trying to. I could have been playing it wrong, man. I don't really want to. You feel a little weird when your opinion isn't. And I don't necessarily say that your opinion isn't shared by everybody. I don't need to be part of the zeitgeist there, I guess, or whatever it is. But it just. Maybe I'm coming at it a little odd. I don't know.
Maybe, but your genuine experience with this game is that. It's not like it wasn't the same experience that everyone else has.
Yeah, I would love to know if I'm missing something or if I'm playing it wrong.
Was there a tutorial given in this game? None. Well, none whatsoever. They just threw you in and play.
I mean, you may have some, but it's not much. Because there's not a lot for you to figure out on how this works. It's like they're going to say symbols. You got to figure out what they mean, you know, and then solve puzzles while you're doing it.
And there's no indicator what you just have to look at it. You said look at the context, how it's used and how they use it, and just try to guesstimate.
Right. Yeah. There is a tutorial like they would say like 3-letter words like go pull that or go turn that or you turn that. Mm-hmm. You turn that very early language type things, you know? Okay. And so I could devise the fact that I knew, you know, early on, because it is a tutorial, early on you figure, because they're telling you, here's the mechanics of the game. You figure out what they're saying, then you go into your little journal and you write in what that symbol means. Mm-hmm. And if you're right, then the page is solid, it fills in for you, and boom, you know that you're correct. If you're wrong, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. But it also doesn't tell you, like, no, that's... So if my book, when you open up your book, you have an image on one page, an image on another page. And once you filled in the blank spots on those two pages, it's like, hey, you did it, great. But if you don't get them right... It just doesn't fill in for you. It doesn't let you know that you... It doesn't tell you what you got wrong.
So there's a clear indicator that you got it right.
Yes.
So keep going.
But there is no clear indicator that you got it wrong other than it doesn't fill out. I don't know that one's the wrong letter. I don't know that one's the wrong letter. In other words... Yeah, let me try and... I'm trying to figure out how to explain this.
I'm trying to think right now. If I put this symbol in here and nothing happens, I'm wrong. That's what I'm thinking.
No. You have to fill up the two pages before it'll ever tell you if you got them right or wrong. Mm-hmm. So putting one in a spot and then leaving it there will not tell you anything. You have to fill out the other spaces that are on the pages before. And if nothing happens, then somewhere you're wrong. Mm-hmm. If there's four spaces on there for me to fill out, it's not going to tell me which one's wrong. But if I got all four right, it'll tell me that.
Then in my case, I would just say keep guessing until I get everything right.
But then you're guessing on words, man.
I know. Keep guessing.
And there's a ton of them to try and throw in there. Is that water or is that wet? Is that, you know, there was a guitar. And I'm like, is that a guitar? It's not a guitar. Is it an instrument? It's not an instrument. Is it, you know, what is it?
Yeah.
You know, is it sound?
Yeah.
Could be sound.
I'm just thinking about a process of elimination. How many choices do you have for each letter? Symbol.
Man, there was a dude who was... Okay, there's a dude on an image in your book of him pottery. He's, you know, hands are on the pot. So I'm looking at that and I'm going, those are pots. All right? Clay, pots, pottery. Nope, nope, nope. I went and I looked it up and it is make. It means make. Okay. But that throws me off so much by like, all right, if you're just throwing that in there, then what do these other symbols mean? And again, AC Wraith says it got the IGF, Independent Games Festival's McNally Grand Prize and Excellent in Visual Art. It's a pretty looking game. It really is. Mm-hmm. But my head can't get wrapped around it. Or maybe I could be playing it wrong.
Yeah.
I feel weird to come at it with this when it's got those awards good reviews.
Awards don't mean anything if it didn't hit you in the sweet spot of what you like with puzzles.
I know, but that's what bugs me though. It feels like I must be doing something wrong. It feels like there must be some instruction or something that I've missed here. Because or a path that I've missed that I didn't see that'll help me explain more of this. I don't know.
That'll just take a trip to YouTube or whatever and
I try not to do that on my puzzles. I try not to. I mean, I've done it before. I've obviously done it with this game just to see, like, what's the deal here?
Yeah, I'll have to. I'll actually have to look at the video and see what the deal is, the gameplay, or how this thing operates.
That was the Sunday after last week's show that I did that, and didn't like it. I might go back to it, but I don't know. Maybe not. We're going to take a break here because we've come to the bottom of the hour, but I want to come back and talk about, because this was on Sunday, and I played some of that on Sunday, and then I said, "Yeah, I'm done. I'm done playing this." And I think I ended up watching Godzilla versus Kong or whatever it was. Godzilla Kong, the New Empire or something like that. I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. After that,
the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. God, it was a horrible movie. It was a really bad movie. In fact, a little past the halfway mark, or probably about when there was about 30 minutes left of the film, the sound, the dialogue completely cut out. I have no idea why. Sound effects were pumping in. Music was there. Dialogue completely gone. Now, I always watch with subtitles.
Yeah.
So my subtitles are still kicking. Not that you needed them.
It's not like you're going to hear King Kong wax philosophic or something.
I could have watched the entire movie with no dialogue, and it probably would have been better. But it was not a great film. Especially coming off watching Godzilla Minus One. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
Based on what everyone has been saying about it, I mean, they went back to the roots of what a Godzilla movie is supposed to be about.
That's a good movie. Mm-hmm. Also, it is on, just today, it is now streaming on Netflix.
Yeah.
So if you've got Netflix, check out Godzilla Minus One. Watch it. I have no idea what it sounds like in the dubbed version, so I would suggest watch the subtitles. But
I'd be going subtitles on that one if I was you.
Later this month, I think it's later this month or later this summer. Next, Netflix will have the option, and you'll have the option to buy and rent as well. It's called Godzilla Minus One Minus Color, and it's just completely in black and white,
vintage style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. I loved when. Snyder did it for the Justice League thing all in black and white, which I haven't gone back to watch. It's a 4.5-hour film. But I did watch the shiny and chrome version of Fury Road, which is all in black and white. And that was, I really, really enjoyed that a lot. Anyway, that's my push for Godzilla Minus One. Great, great flick. We're going to be right back, and I'm going to go over, I'll talk about the rest of the games that I've played. One that is a recent one that I went through and finished all the way through, and then one that I have only returned to after 9 years. I'll tell you about that coming up. Here's music from a game called Yellow Taxi Goes Vroom. Yeah. The track is called Pizza Time. Yellow Taxi Goes Vroom. We'll be right back. On in-game chat. Look it up if you want. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Let's Revolution. Name of the track is called Crowns and Loafers. By the way, these tracks all come from recently released games. I think next week we go back to our retro games. Retro, new.
Back and forth.
Yeah, you know, kind of splits it up. Otherwise, we're going to catch up with the releases and then going to have to go back to the old stuff anyway.
Yeah, sometimes I try to like guess the genre that this music comes from, and it's like, oh, no.
I don't even know. Yeah, Let's Revolution. I'm not sure exactly what type of game that is.
Let's Revolution is a colorful roguelike puzzle mashup about stopping a narcissistic king from ruining your world.
Oh. All right. I just needed music. That's all. Yeah. So anyway, Chance. I enjoy it. Or well, whatever. Looked good. Didn't like playing it.
But you're gonna give it another chance in a while.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I think I'll look. It depends. Right now, I'm good as far as needing something to play. I'm fine. But what happened was is that when I got done playing that, when I decided, I'm done with this. I went ahead and preloaded Hellblade 2 onto my Xbox because that was Sunday after the show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because Hellblade was releasing on Tuesday. And then Tuesday, I started playing Hellblade 2. And I played it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then I think I finished it on Sunday.
Short?
Yep. Which is perfectly fine. I don't, I haven't actually read much about the reception of the game. Reviews are great for it, and that's fine. But I haven't read reception of the title of the games as far as how successful did it do? How many sales did it do? Did it make money?
The numbers haven't come out yet. I mean,
maybe they have. I don't know. But usually when they're big winners, you know, the next day or the next few days afterwards. And of course, it's been two weeks now.
Yeah, it's been rough for AAA titles lately.
Yeah,
overall.
But I mean, there's a lot to say. There's a lot to say about Hellblade 2. It's not bad. It's not a bad game. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. And I enjoyed it immensely. But when I tell you this, I am absolutely done with it. There's nothing I can go back and do outside of playing it on a harder difficulty if I want to.
I mean, same way with the original Hellblade.
Yeah.
I mean, I played through that game after, I mean, I was late to the party on that one too, but I had a good time playing it. But when I was done, that was done. There was nothing else I could really
With the exception, and I don't think they made it as easy as they did in the sequel that they did in the, or I don't think they made it easier in the sequel to go back and hit your collectibles that you might have missed better than I think they did in the first game. And I'd have to go back to the first game to find out if that's the case. I do remember in the first game finding faces in the stones and in the world. You know, you'd sort of see a face and you could focus on it.
Yeah, I think I got to a point in the game where about halfway through, it wasn't really a motivating factor for me. I wanted to continue the story and see how this ended up.
Right, but you got lore, you got story from those because you could look at the face. If you found the face, you could focus on the face, and then it would talk to you because, of course, it's Senua's mind being all messed up. But you would get lore from that, and the same thing applies here. If you see one of those faces, you get lore from it. The faces are easier to spot. The voices in your head kind of let you know, did you see that? So that's nice. But you can also go back through the chapters once you've completed. In other words, you've got one save file on this thing. If you go back and start a new story, you will overwrite that save file. If you go back and... So you got to be careful. If you go back and go to the chapter selection and pick an old chapter you've played, you can play that chapter for as long as you want, even through into other chapters, and you're absolutely fine. You're not killing your save or anything like that. It only changes when you catch up to where your save was and go further. But you're fine. You're not going to ruin a save doing that, just if you start a new game. The best part is that when you do go to chapter select, it'll tell you Like, you found, in this section, you found 3 of 5 lore stones, or you found, you know, 3 of 5 faces or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you can go and see. And out of all of those, I gotta talk about this too. Out of all of those, I missed one lore stone, which was in chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And I went back and I got it after the game was done. It's a beautiful game. It's an amazing game. It is a short game. And not only is it short in the length of which you play it, but it is short in the amount of time that you will spend doing anything with it after it was over with. Just like you said on the first one. I think on the first one, though, if I missed something, I was going to have to go through all the game again to find what it was I may have missed. I don't remember that, so I don't want to mislead anyone in that. Yeah. I can't really tell you how long it is. I really should have looked at that when I got done. But I would say I played maybe an hour thereabouts per night that I played. Yeah. So, you know, you're looking at 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, I was just about to ask if it was long, if it was at least longer than the first one.
I can't remember the first one's length.
Yeah.
But 6 or 7 hours, I want to say it's actually shorter than the first one. Feels like it's shorter than the first one.
Maybe because you know what you're getting into with the sequel.
Very likely.
Yeah, than you did with the first one, so yeah.
Very, very likely. But it's really, really good. It's the combat is still really good if you want to deal with it. If you don't want to deal with the combat, you don't have to deal with the combat. Mm-hmm. There's a setting in there which I've never tried but read about. Lethal Migraine says, if you play through a second time, you get different narrators. Yes. Once you finish the game, depending on how many things you found, if you found all the lore stones and all the faces, you get to unlock different narrators for your next playthrough. Mm-hmm. You can use, I can't remember who the voice is for the lore stones, or you can use the voice for the faces that tell you the stories and stuff like that. There's a couple of different narrators you can go back through. That's the only real difference there when you play it back through a second time.
You know, the only time the narrator changed for me of changes I've ever seen really were in fighting games.
Yeah.
Like Mortal Kombat in particular, a lot of folks like using Johnny Cage as a narrator for the whole thing. So
Thar6
in this one.
Yeah, Thar6 says it took him 11 hours. He missed 3 achievements and ran around twice in a circle, not finding where to go. I don't remember getting into a situation where I wasn't sure where to go. I remember there was one section where I had a certain amount of time to get from point A to point B, which looked like I could make it, but I didn't once. And I got attacked, and I thought, well, I'm not sure what to do, so I did it again and made it the next time.
You couldn't, you have to fight this? You have to fight this person? Or
no.
You have to? Okay.
No. It's an instant death. In other words, you have, I'm trying to think of something in the first game that I could relate it to. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you had to, I think you were in the caverns or something, you had to stand in the light and you had to run from one light source to another light source in the dark? Because if you stayed in the dark too long.
Yeah, I think. I remember partly, yeah.
It's a lot like that in this one.
Yeah.
You had to go from here to here, you know, and you just had to run to make it. But mm-hmm. I didn't, my first attempt, because I thought, well, I guess I'm going that way. I went and I got killed because I didn't do it fast enough.
Oh, okay.
It's not an attack sequence. There is no fighting. It's an instant death type thing.
Okay.
Right. But I made it across, no problem. But I never had a problem in any kind of circles, mainly because it's such a linear game. Now, there are parts, especially in the beginning, in the chapter 1, and possibly chapter 2 as well. Chapter 1 honestly feels maze-like. It is, chapter 1, I would say, is the most, the best, I say the best or the most, whatever, the biggest part of chapter 1 is knowing where to go. They're not that clear with it.
It usually doesn't happen in cases like that. It's like the first chapter is like the one that breaks you in, gets you.
Well, that's what it was doing. It's just that it was kind of confusing because it's opened up. It's not as, it's an opened up area. Mm-hmm. You still can't, it's still very linear. It's a really linear game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm saying it's very hard in later chapters to get lost.
Yeah.
There are some puzzles that might throw your mind for a loop in trying to get them done. But yeah, it's... it can be... It can be a little like, what am I supposed to do here? Why is it doing this type of thing? I didn't run into that a lot. Mm-hmm. In fact, in one puzzle, I remember playing it and I remember thinking... Well, I had a thought about how this puzzle was working.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until later on in that same section that I don't know why I was so proud of myself, but I was so proud of myself because I called it. Because I was like, I was right. That is it. That's great.
Hey, all the muses.
I swear. I know, man. I know. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody to tell you, but it's the one where you have to light the path. And there was a section towards the end of that where I thought, yeah, this is, I know what they're doing here. I know what they're doing here. And they exactly were, okay. They were doing exactly
that. I got to ask you this. Did that section remind you of anything you've played in the past?
No, not really. Yeah, and if it did, because I feel like I've come across that mechanic before,
mm-hmm.
but if it did, I can't remember what game did it, mm-hmm. but it didn't seem like Thar6 says, overall, I liked it. Graphics are incredible. Sound is great, but it was too slow in some areas. He liked the first one more. Going back to the combat, combat's very dynamic. You can choose to do the combat your own way if you want to. You can be the combat. You can also turn it to, you can set it to where, now, by the way, I did play on easy difficulty because I did not care about the combat. I didn't know until after I was pretty much close to the end of the game that you could actually set it to do this. But you can tell it to attack on its own. In other words, you're in charge of blocking. That's it. You're in charge of timing the blocks, timing the parry. That's it. It'll do the other stuff. It'll attack. That's fine. But you do the dodging. You can also do vice versa of that. You can do the attacks, and it'll always... do the blocks and the parries and everything else. And you just do the attacks.
It sounds like a pseudo like auto mode in a mobile game or something like
or
that.
Or you can have it do all of it.
Yeah.
So that you do not have to deal with the combat at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which is perfectly fine in this scenario. Actually, I would say it's perfectly fine in any scenario of a game, unless, of course, it's a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I put it on easy difficulty is because I wanted to experience the story. I wanted to go through this and experience. And that's another complaint I have about it, which I'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, though, great. I worry about the length of it because I feel like a lot of people will not buy it because it is so short and it is so one and done kind of thing.
So I'm thinking it's going to be a wait for a price drop type of thing or stuff like that.
If people are gonna buy it that way, then sure, then wait for a price drop. They probably will, but I had it on Game Pass, so
yeah.
I mean that's it. Will I buy it when it comes? Likely, I will own this on PC at some point. Yeah, I don't know how many copies of Hellblade I actually own. Probably on Epic Game Store, Steam, Xbox. Eventually, I was able to own that game on a bunch of different systems. Just because of all these deals and different things that would come up. It's a buck. Sure, I'll buy it for $1.
That's how your Steam library got to like.
Is because it's included in a Humble sale or a Humble bundle thing or something like that. So eventually I'll own the game on PC.
Yeah.
And I'll be grateful that I do because it's going to look fantastic by the time I ever get around to playing it on PC. It's going to look amazing.
Yeah.
And maybe if I got widescreen, it does have widescreen support, but maybe I'll get a widescreen monitor to look even better. I don't know. Yeah. Still, I enjoyed it very, very much.
Just a quick question about the combat. Do you recall how the combat worked in the first game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it the same way?
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Exactly the same.
So I had a good time with the combat in the game.
Simple, you get some different enemies in this one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Is it, attack, levels of attack, and then blocking and parrying and dodging and all that stuff. So and it was simple to learn and being able to
parry or get an attack in will refill your focus meter or whatever that is called,
mm-hmm.
For you to slow down time and do all that sort of things. Which, again, the combat's great, the story is great, the setting is great, the visuals are insane.
Mm-hmm. epic locales we talking about?
Oh my God. You are seeing Unreal Engine 5 putting in the work. The infinite geometry thing that they have in Unreal Engine 5 is on display everywhere in this game. My God. Jaw-dropping. Okay. Serious, serious work. Especially when you go into photo mode.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into photo mode and start zooming in on some of these characters, I can show you a thread full of just photos from this thing. And it insane on the detail. Just unreal. And I mean, there's a reason they call it, that's the name of the engine that they used to build the thing, Unreal Engine. Just amazing how good it looks. Okay. It really is. My only complaint, there's a bug flying around here. My only complaint, and it's one that I rattled off every time because I was using a guide to show me where the lore stones are and where the faces are.
Okay.
Mainly because I didn't want to miss them, for one, because I remembered what happened in the first game. If you missed them, you're going to have to go back and play through.
Yep.
Luckily, you don't have to do that in this one. So I would say my advice would be don't play with a guide. In fact, my advice would be don't even look for any of this stuff. One of my biggest complaints, and something that I wish games who want us to enjoy a narrative would stop doing, and I know it's our choice, but some of us have wiring that doesn't let us do this. Stop putting story in secrets. If you want to put things out of the way that I have to go find, that'll give me bonuses, let it give me bonus health if I need it. Let it give me a bonus to my weapon or something like that. Don't put story in secrets. It's not necessarily story that pertains to anything that's going on with your main story in the game, but it's story nonetheless, and it's story that is vocalized, and I really enjoyed the voice acting in this. I enjoyed the acting in this, too. Sometimes you feel like you're playing with actors who are, it's just amazing how it looks. But when I'm in the middle of playing a game, when I'm in the middle of walking through a valley or something with other characters who are talking to me and are giving me feedback, it really kills the momentum when I stop to go look. Oh, is there a story thing over here that I missed? Oh, is there a face over here? Is this where I'm going to go? Is this it? Is this? It's very linear, but there are paths that you can kind of go around and take and look for other things. I hate that they put stories in these secret areas because it screws up the momentum of what you're playing, the story that is being told, the main story that is being told. It really throws you off when you stop because you're trying to find all these stupid secret things. If it's secret things for an achievement, if it's secret things for bonuses to your character or something like that, I'll get those on a second playthrough. But when it's story and lore, I want to get it. My brain says do it the first time, you know. My brain has always been that way. It's always like, get everything done in this section, move on to the next section. Get everything done in this section, move on to the next section. I'm not a dude that leaves things alone and undone in my gaming. Especially when it is story, when there is story. And there was story there. I mean, you remember the story markers that you would find in Hellblade 1? You know, and there was a thread. There was a when you found one here, the next one you found, if it was the next one in the sequence, picked up where that last one left off. So there was a common thread through the whole thing as you learned about, and I can't remember who it was in the first one. I don't remember the name of the one that was in this one for who they focused on for the story, side story, I guess you could say. But I really hated that. I really, really, it annoyed me. I was so glad when I got into chapter 5. There's 6 chapters, and chapter 5 is where you find the final story stone or lore marker and face, hidden face. Once you find those, there's none in chapter 6. And let me tell you, I enjoyed chapter 6 immensely because I was not looking for that stupid stuff. I was not trying to find it or make sure I didn't miss it. Annoyed me. Mm-hmm. That's my only complaint. Like, you did everything else right. You even turned the combat off for people who don't want to experience. Mm-hmm. So put them in the game. Just don't hide them. You know?
Yeah.
Just don't make it something that throws me. Put them on the path that I'm walking. You know? Put it somewhere where I see it and say, well, I'll figure out how to get there as I come around or something like that if you want to. But don't hide them. That's my own thing. Just don't hide them. Or if you're going to, make it something that is not, I don't want to say necessary, because these are two, the faces have a story behind them and the lore stones have a story behind them. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but just, I don't know. They're avoidable. You can if you want to, but the first time you find one, you're going to want to hear the next step of the story.
Yeah, maybe it's a way to encourage exploration because of the length.
There ain't much exploration in this game.
Well, if you're looking for the story parts, you're going
to. I know. Yeah. I get it. I understand. But that goes to the way Unreal Engine is working, because I talked mm-hmm. about that infinite geometry.
Yeah.
When you're outdoors, I mean, when you're inside, it's pretty much. I say when you're inside, when you're in a cave or something like that, it's almost pretty much here, very little deviation of path.
Right.
But when you're outside, it's hard to tell, is that a path? Is that a path? You know the main path, but you'll see the way the geometry is set up or the way that the landscape is done where it's like, can I go over there? And a lot of times, no, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you could, but all it did was like just take you around a big rock and you'd meet back up. There was nothing that was anything there.
I think I remember that happening a lot in the first game.
You may have it. Yeah. Again, I didn't play the first one to catch up with this one.
Climb this, go into this, sneak around this. Oh, wait a minute. Have I been here? Yes, you have been here before.
Yeah.
Where you started from. Yeah.
There's a nice catch up, story mechanic at the beginning of the game that gives you everything that happened in the first one. To get you through there, but yeah,
kind of a previously on Hellblade.
Basically, yeah, and it's done. It's done in a really good way. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, told in stories and told verbally with etchings and things, and I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, great. It's a great game. It is. I would suggest playing it with headphones if you do. I did not.
I think they suggest that, don't they?
They always do
because
of the voices.
You got to hear the stuff going on.
There's some things, though, that I would not want to hear in my headphones. There are a few moments where it's like, I would have hated to have headphones on and hear that noise. Mm-hmm. But, oh, God, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Really good. And I feel like, as much as I say that it was a short game, I feel like they really hit a sweet spot on the length. Like, it didn't wear itself out. Mm-hmm. But you also didn't feel like you didn't get enough, you know?
Always leave them wanting more.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way though. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I wanted more. I felt like good. You've wrapped up your story here.
You see a third one coming?
Tough call. I would say no, but I think they're already actually working on their next game. Which I don't think is a Hellblade game or I can't remember what it was, but I thought that Microsoft was, that's the problem. Microsoft has just closed like, you know, four studios 2 weeks prior to Hellblade releasing. Mm. And I mean, let me tell you, there's a lot of money into this game. There's a lot of money involved in this game, but it's real short and it's on Game Pass and I don't even know what the price of it is. It actually might not be a $70 game. I'm not exactly sure. It might be a lower price game. I don't actually know on that. But let me tell you, great game. What did you find a price?
The game will cost $50 and be available on Game Pass.
So it's $50.
Huh.
Yeah. I didn't think it was full price.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If they do a third one, I'm totally down to play it and look at it and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I hope they eventually return to the character. Yeah. But I would like them to move on and do something else now. Mm. You know, Hellblade was a game that I came to very late.
Same here.
But And Hellblade 2 was not the case. I jumped right on it as soon as it released and played it. So it's like, all right, guys, do something else now. I don't know what they did in between Hellblade and Hellblade 2. It's Ninja Theory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what they did in between those two games, if they did anything at all, and didn't just get right back to work on doing Hellblade 2. But it's great. It is a really great game. And we're over the top of the hour here. So when we come back, I'll jump into the real quick of the game that I got back into after 9 years. In fact, I got an achievement this morning that said something about you've started Act Two. 9 years after playing it. And it goes to what I was just talking about Hellblade, where it's like, I don't move on until I've finished everything that I can do. Mm-hmm. You know, then I move on to the next. So, gives you an idea. Here is music from, it was supposed to be the reissue of Gigantic, which is like a PvP type thing. They recently did a re-release on the game, and so I was looking for music from that, but I could only find music from the original, which is Gigantic or Gigantic, I don't know. The track is called A Familiar Path. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat and you right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. That's music from Inkbound, the title track of the game Inkbound. So the other game that I played and I got back into it, and I do not know what... Oh, I know exactly what got me back into it. The game is Mad Max. From 2015, Avalanche Studios, Warner Brothers game. George Miller, with the release of Furiosa that came out Memorial Day weekend, did some interviews and talked about the old game and how he was kind of disappointed and that sort of thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. One specific developer from that day or from that group went on to Twitter to not necessarily combat what he said, but talked about the development of that game, and talked about how much effort they put into it and everything else. And then this whole story came about where, and this is something I didn't know, but George Miller was working with Corey Barlog to put together a video game, a Mad Max video game. Corey is the guy that went on to do God of War 2018, the revitalization of God of War, I guess you could say. Dad of War, that version. Didn't do the sequel. That was a different director, but I think it was a different director. But he did do the first one. And so he's working with him on a Mad Max game, and something happened there, Warner Brothers or otherwise, or some, I don't know what happened, but they had put a lot of effort into it, and then it all got thrown out. And Avalanche took over, and they made this game that they got, or that we got, and I didn't know any of this until recently.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been interesting to see what they were working on, or how they were gonna make the game, or that sort of thing. Especially when you think about God of War, and then you're like, okay, let's put that style or that mechanic or that game or whatever the case. Let's try wrap our heads around putting Mad Max into that. I don't want to say setting, but into that style.
Format,
I suppose.
I guess that format or style, yeah.
Which I'm not exactly sure how that would have been, because God of War is not a vehicular type of game. Mad Max needs to be in some way vehicular, I suppose, as much as it needs to be, you know, single-player story type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But the talk of that was like, hey, I have Mad Max. And that game's old enough that I haven't played it with my new graphics. That's always a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you remember a game that you enjoyed playing, but you've got much better equipment now to play it with,
yeah,
that is always a good excuse to load it back up. And so I loaded it back up, Mad Max, jumped into it. The controls were easy to kind of get back into the rhythm of things. And I realized that I had not played it in 9 years. 2015 was the last save I had on that game. And only this morning did I finally venture into Act 2 of the game.
Did you even start over?
No. I didn't start over at all because I was so close. There are there's territories. There's a massive map.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean massive, especially for the fact that you use a car to get around this map.
Mm-hmm.
It is big for the fact that even in a car, it takes a while to maneuver through this map. I mean, it's massive. And I had only unlocked half, if that, of the map so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I was busy cleaning up my currently unlocked versions of my areas there. Each section of the map, and there are different sections, has a stronghold. And once you take over that stronghold, it becomes yours. And then you can start to collect things out into the wasteland that you bring back to build a supply shed or food source or scavenger crew, which will go out and pick up all the, like when you take down vehicles, they leave behind parts.
Mm-hmm.
And until you build up the crew, you gotta, when you're done, you gotta go to each park and collect it. Once you've built a crew in that section, every time you take down a vehicle, they just automatically come by and pick it up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. And there's other things that build and add to your scrap and your all this other things that you're doing and that sort of thing. So, and the map loses or becomes green the more you take out the enemy factions and enemy things in your section of the map. The threat level lowers and lowers and lowers. Mm. And so I was busy getting two parts of this map. I'd already gotten one, apparently, down to zero, green. That's good. Mm. All things done. I'm fine with that section. Had this other section that I was going through and doing that with. So I'd spend a little time every night, you know, after work, saying, you know, today I'm just going to focus on getting this thing done. And I would just go to only the places that matter to do that. The problem with this game is that it's very, very civilization styled, where just one more thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
Hey, I took down a sniper over here. Let me just do one more and I'll be done. Of course, you do that and you're like, wait a second. There's something over there, though. Let me go check that out real quick. See what that is. And then mm-hmm. I'll be done. Oh, I'm really close to this other thing. Let me go knock that out real quick. And then I'll be
while
done.
I'm here. Yeah.
That's all it ever turned into.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was fun to get back into it, and it was fun to actually move the story along, because I did that today. Opened up a brand new section of the map, and I was bombarded with like plenty to do. There's tons of stuff for me to do.
Yeah.
So well, yeah,
you said the map was huge. So,
it's
yeah.
massive, dude. It is so yeah. huge. The combat's great in it. It's got that Batman style combat where you can do the counters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, and I wish they had, but they did not put in the Nemesis system. I don't even know if that was in there from Shadow of War or you know, the Lord of the Rings game. That Nemesis system would work wonderful here. It really, really would, because sometimes when you're driving from one location to another, you'll come in contact with an enemy faction on the road, and you'll either get them, you'll either go ahead and come, you know, combat them if you want to, or you'll just damage them enough and get away. But it would be great if you did something like that, and it's like, okay, this dude's now hates you. So take him out to get to the next guy, to get to the thing. I really enjoyed the Nemesis system, and I really wish they would have put that in more games. I really, really wish they would have. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. Sorry I took 45 minutes to tell you all that. But yeah, Mad Max is probably what I'm going to stick with now for a while. Yeah. Before I move on to Spider-Man 2, which I still haven't done that yet. I thought about it, but I haven't. Done it. So yeah, let's. Where was I gonna go? Was I gonna? You know. There's stuff. Jesus, IGN. I don't know how much I can elaborate on any of this. Not because I'm unable to, but just I don't really have a comment to it other than. It sucks, but that's the way it is. IGN.
Not exactly a fan favorite.
Hey, yeah. Well, I've never really been a fan favorite of IGN. I've never been a fan of IGN at all, ever. But they bought, they bought Eurogamer. This is just the week after we did our show, the last show we did. The week after that, this is that news that came down. IGN bought Eurogamer, GameIndustry.biz, VG247, Rock Paper Shotgun, and some more as well. A lot of these I had in my list of news sites that I curate to see what's been going on in our gaming worlds and everything. But now it all feels like it's coming from the same source. Lethal Migrant says IGN has always been trash journalism. Now it'll only get worse. I agree. It'll only get worse. The whole conglomeration of
gaming media being consolidated under one umbrella.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
It's gross.
Not good.
It's gross. I don't like it at all. And that was depressing to see that happen. And they started making layoffs as well. They started letting people go as soon as they did it. There were tweets all over just being like, well, today's my last day. You know, I don't know how ahead of this people knew it was coming or something like that, but it felt like it came out of nowhere. Normally we get these things of like, hey, there's rumors or there's mumblings that the this was just boom, there it is.
Where are you going to get your news from? Your gut feeling, where are you going to get your gaming news from now?
I still, you know, Kotaku ain't great either, but I still got Kotaku, I've got Polygon, I've got...
I mean, in general, you know...
I use GameSpot.
Yeah, in general, our options are now limited now. So.
They are. And if anybody, by the way, anybody listening, anybody in the chat rooms, anybody out there who has gaming news sites that they use, throw them my way. I always enjoy getting others, as long as it's not like Nintendo Life. I'm not looking for something that's focusing on
one
company. Yeah, exactly. I'm not looking on anything like that.
Video game news.
Because here's what I've got on my list. Now, I'm sure I could have more. But I realized the more I added, the more repetitive stories I would get. Rock, Paper, Shotgun, VG247, Destructoid, Eurogamer, Gamasutra, GameSpot, IGN, Kotaku, PC Gamer, Polygon as well. Those are the ones that I'm using right now, which is not very many. But I will look into The Verge from AC Wraith, and BatmanBrian17 says Blues News. I'll check those out and see, but feel free to shoot an email over and let me know, you know, what you use for your gaming news, because I'm apparently running out here. There was the other stuff, but I really, really, really wanted to jump into the Sony State of Play that took place just this past week. There's so many other stories to get to, and if I can get to them before Top of the hour, some of the quick hits. I'll try and do those. But let's see. PlayStation, Sony held a State of Play earlier this week. Thursday, actually. They announced it on Wednesday, saying there's a State of Play tomorrow. Microsoft has already gotten way ahead of theirs and said, look, it's June 10th, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not tomorrow. No, it's not. I don't think it's the 10th. The 10th's a Monday. It must be the 9th. I think it's the 9th. And I could be wrong. Did I put it in here? Did I put it in our news? I probably didn't, because I normally don't. When it's like, hey, there's a thing coming up you should watch that's weeks away, and it's like, no reason to mention it. We don't know anything yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was trying to see, because I know we've got the Ubisoft Forward event, which is June 10th. That's why I feel like... See, that's a Monday. That's why I feel like Microsoft is on Sunday.
Sundays, yeah.
Which normally they are anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
They don't overlap, do they?
No. They are either held on the same day, back to back to back, or you know, apart from, you know, some hours apart, or they're mm-hmm. held one day and then somebody else holds another one the next day, something like that. So, mm-hmm. so far, what we know is that Microsoft is on the 9th. I'm almost positive. And Ubisoft is on the 10th. Sorry, I hit my microphone.
Thump.
Yeah, no, big thump. Let me see. Microsoft. Not rewards. Yeah. Microsoft.
I think with all these company events, it's like the Avengers, who goes last, who can make the best showing.
June 9th. Yeah, so it is Sunday. Noon our time. So not tomorrow, but next Sunday at noon is when the Microsoft event is. And then Ubisoft's the next day after. Which is obviously where you're going to see more of that Assassin's Creed. Which we got a look at Assassin's Creed, but it was just nothing but cinematics for Assassin's Creed Shadows or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. It was nothing but cinematics, no actual gameplay, but it's also Assassin's Creed, so what do you expect from gameplay? It's probably going to play the same as the others have, but we shall see. So I'm sure that's when we'll get a look at that. Sony, however, came out with their State of Play, 35 minutes, I think it was. I'd say a little more than halfway or a little less than halfway into it, and I was like, nothing was like spiking my excitement feed.
I think the general consensus I got on it was not much exciting that they showed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just meh. It's meh overall. I mean, maybe a few things here and there that piqued interest, but for the most part, no, not much.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. 35 minutes, Lethal Migraine says, and 10 of it was Concord. Yeah, I know. It opened with Concord, and... It's interesting that they started that with a cinematic. Because I'm like, hey, that looks really, really good. But then, like, just a few minutes into it, I realized, oh, no, this is just a cinematic you're watching. This is not... As they kept going on and talking and doing the stuff, I was just like, this is a cinematic.
So it was filler?
This is not gameplay. Well, I mean, I think they originally said at the beginning that they're going to show you something and then show you gameplay afterwards. And when they got to the gameplay, the cinematic pulled me in. I'm like, all right, what is this? But the more they showed to the cinematic, the more I realized the stuff they're showing off here looks very PvP-ish, very Overwatch-ish, if I'm saying that right. Very much a, there's your shield person, there's your strong person, there's your, you know, your tank, your whatever, there's, you know, all the different roles that you find mm-hmm. in games like that. And then when they got to the actual gameplay, I was like, yep, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm out. You know, not me. Yeah. SDN Fuller says someone joined the hero shooter craze like 10 years too late on that. I suppose, man. I don't know. I don't like to again, this goes back to my Chance of Sennar game, where it's like, I feel like this, but I see the reviews. I get that there's an audience for that, I suppose. I don't like to think that because I'm not interested in it, that means nobody else is interested in it either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but is it over the hero shooter thing? It, I'm thinking it's oversaturated right now, right? So
I would say it probably is, yeah.
So,
yeah. And in the same show, they showed off a game that is a competitor to that game.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel Rivals.
Marvel Rivals,
I think. Yeah, yeah, they showed off that as well.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me of when they did the PlayStation All-Stars Battle, trying to jump on the Smash Brothers thing. A little late to the party because Nintendo already established that they own that party type fighter thing.
Consoles have always kind of been late to the party in a sense.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily mean all the consoles. Obviously, Nintendo did what they did with the Wii, and then Microsoft and Sony tried to copy that with motion controls and whatever else. But it doesn't seem, I don't know. I mean, consoles have to be, I guess, given the fact that when they release, they are released in a capsule. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like that is a moment frozen in time for your technology right there. That is, at the time it was built, that is the best that it was built. At the time it was sold, there's other stuff that's better. at the time that you buy it, there's better things out there for you that can do better than what those things can do.
Yeah.
So and that's all, fine.
So it's all about your library at that point. Like, like any console.
Yeah, right? I'm not saying that there's that's good or bad. I'm just like, obviously, a library makes your system.
Because it is what it is. I mean, you can have the best performing console in the world. If you don't have a library that can back it up, what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah, Concord showed off was not interesting. Let me bring up everything we saw there.
Yeah.
Concord is what it opened with. Absolutely no interest. It comes out August 23rd. God of War Ragnarok on PC in September. That's great for you PC folk. I'm glad you're going to get to enjoy Ragnarok. It is a fantastic game. I suggest playing the first one and then going into the second one just so you can get a nice refresher and that the story will feel even more cohesive than it does currently.
Mm-hmm.
Although, from what we understand, you're going to need a PlayStation account in order to play it, I believe, correct? A PlayStation Online account thing, whatever.
Which goes against the thing they were talking about with multiplayer, because as far as I knew, there's no multiplayer with God of War, right?
I don't think there is. There might be some leaderboards as far as some combat stuff in there, because there's little combat arenas you can go into. But I doubt that's a thing. Again, it feels like Ghost of Tsushima, which is, you know, it's got multiplayer, but you don't have to.
Yeah, that's not, because it's not what you're playing the game for.
Yeah, it's, and God of War works exactly the same way.
Yeah.
So I don't exactly know why they would be doing that, again, given everything that's going on. I haven't read up on it, but I have seen stuff about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a few games that showed off, and I thought, RJ might be interested in this. Mm-hmm. Dynasty Warriors. Do you ever play that?
I played that once.
Yeah.
But it's like the exact same game.
Uh-huh.
It's almost sports title-like at this point. Same game, different. I don't even know if it's different legends in the Three Kingdoms story.
This is called Dynasty Warriors Origins.
It's like you against 100.
Yeah. You against a lot. Yeah, they were still showing that off in this. I remember for the 360 when they were showing trailers for, it was a Dynasty Warriors game, but also Cameo.
Yeah.
When the big touting thing that they were doing was like, hey, it's in HD, which at the time I couldn't tell because I didn't have HD content on my screen until I got a 360, and I was like, ooh, wow, this is pretty.
Yeah.
And that's 1080p we're talking.
Yeah.
And the amount of enemies that they could fit on the screen at the same time.
Because
that was really, really cool in Cameo to see like just hordes of whatever those enemies were being knocked around and stuff. Same thing with Dynasty Warriors in the trailer. Just hordes of people getting knocked around and thrown and, you know, blasted off and whatever else because of the stuff you're doing is that Dynasty Warrior, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, Dynasty Warriors Origins, again, might play it for the gimmick of like seeing a bunch of stuff on screen flying everywhere when you do a move, but otherwise, no.
Yeah, but it gets the problem that I have with Dynasty Warriors in general is, I mean, it was cool for about, you know, 30 right. minutes, mm-hmm. and then you're like, I've seen that before, time to switch to another character, and lather, rinse, repeat, same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I do remember playing Dynasty Warriors. Mm-hmm. I probably on the 360 just to see it, and I remember not really getting into it.
Yeah.
The next thing we saw was Infinity Nikki, which I didn't understand what was going on with this until I realized that it felt like it was essentially a non-game game, I suppose. I couldn't find any idea of a story. I couldn't find any idea of a
plot point.
I suppose a plot or like what am I essentially doing in this game? And essentially you're just wearing different outfits and taking pictures. That seemed to be what it was.
Mm.
In fact, this write-up, which this comes from Kotaku, says, "Are you ready to walk the path of a stylist? That's what Infinity Nikki promises. Cute outfits, fantasy vistas, platforming, and the ability to shoot little cats out of cannons." I didn't see that part. I could have missed it, but yeah. So I actually think that game will do amazingly well. I don't know if it's PlayStation exclusive, but if that is something that comes out on the Nintendo Switch or PC, which it might get as well, then I think that game will do good.
Mm.
Only for the fact that I think that'll draw an audience. I really think it will. Will it draw me to it? No. But I really think there's a place for it. I honestly do.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of cozy games, those sort of, games in that genre where there's no stakes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It is a nice, little, relaxing, peaceful, play-at-your-own-pace type thing.
Mm-hmm. Is it Animal Crossing-ish?
Doesn't seem like it.
No, I mean the relaxing aspect, just a little...
Probably. I mean, I was just watching a trailer. It looked like it involved no real, like, puzzle solving or... Yeah, I mean, doesn't just look like you were taking pictures.
Look cute, take pictures.
And look different and wear different outfits.
So basically, look cute, take pictures, and do various activities while looking cute.
Yeah. That seemed to be it. Ballad of Antara. Epic dark fantasy vibe, some very satisfying melee weapons, sound effects. Ballad of Antara is definitely worth keeping an eye on if you're into brawls against mythic creatures in a magical realm. Something about the developer of Ballad of Antara does another game, which I think is actually a mobile game. But I can't remember. Ballad of Antara sort of looked interesting to me. But I can't... Lethal Migraine says it's multi-platform. Skydance's Behemoth, which is a VR game for PlayStation VR. Alien Rogue Incursion, which is also a PSVR 2 game as well. Sure, go for it. Marvel Rivals they showed off. That's the only thing that would get me interested in that. It is a property that I am familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Does the familiarity of that property translate into gameplay? I have no idea. If I'm playing as Spider-Man, do I only get to swing around once and then wait for that power or ability to recharge before I can do it again? Because then it's lost me.
Yeah.
You know? That's kind of my question, because I remember playing something that was like a PvP thing or something else. I can't remember. But your inherent ability, such as Spider-Man shooting webs,
mm-hmm.
was on a cooldown. Or one of the other, I can't remember, one of the other characters or something like that from Marvel, which is like, this is the inherent ability of this person. They should be able to do this at will. But nope, we're going to put it on a cooldown.
Some games that work, but not in this case.
I just don't like when they do that. Like, yeah. if they didn't make it Spider-Man and they made it something else, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, oh, that's a Spider-Man clone, but they still put that sort of restriction on it, mm-hmm. I'd be like, all right, that's fine. That's what the game wants to do. Yeah. But when you do that, and I'm like, Superman, same thing. Hey, use your heat vision. All right, wait for it to recharge so you can use it again. I just, no, that's not how it works. Don't do that.
It doesn't fit the lore that you've learned.
Yeah,
all
I mean,
this
they're
time.
Putting yeah, it in no, there so that the mechanic of the game works and you're just not overpowered. I understand that, but that also makes me not want to play your game. Maybe Multiversus. I don't know. Have you looked into that?
No.
Okay.
No,
me neither.
None of them smash type things that I just know.
It is.
And I'm like, no.
And I really haven't gotten into it either.
Shaggy versus Michelangelo. No, I'm good.
It's got the Iron Giant in it, which is a pull for me. Mm. But not, it ain't, it's got Batman, but again, it's not pulling me in too bad. The next game they showed took me, you know, the more I watched it, the more I'm like, hey, this looks really good. And then I was like, ah, crap, it's a fighter. Because every scene they showed was some sort of arena type area where you were fighting, but it was in a 3D space. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure if I'm like, is this a battle within the game? And then you move on. But the more they showed, the more I was like, I think it's a fighter, which is not my forte.
Not your cup of tea.
No. It's called Where Winds Meet. Have you heard of that?
No, but I saw the video for it, and I'm thinking this is going to be like a glorified Bushido Blade. Is that what it's going to be about? One-on-one with a special...
Seems that way. It is one-on-one.
A special kung fu type battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the wire work you see in the kung fu films and things like that. Is that the type of action we're going to get out of this?
But yeah, that's...
I mean, it sounds cool, but how well can you implement it? Because all we saw was like cinematics, not like gameplay. So.
Oh, no, there was gameplay.
Oh, it was?
Oh, well, okay. I'm almost positive I saw gameplay.
Okay.
Yeah. There was gameplay.
Looked like a one-on-one arena fight.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it did. Which I was like...
I saw a different video there.
Yeah, I thought of it, and I thought of you, because I'm like, he might be interested. It might be one of those things for him, and it might not be. I don't know. Yeah. We got the Until Dawn PS5 release. They're doing a remastered thing, I guess?
Yeah.
Or being rebuilt and upgraded for current hardware. So it's going to get a PC release, and it's also getting a PS5 release.
I wonder if it's going to be like a director's cut.
Might be.
More stuff in there.
Nothing showed that. In other words, they didn't tease that. They didn't say, ooh, with unseen footage or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say any of that stuff. We got the trailer for Path of Exile 2, the console release of the game. It'll be released sometime this year on PS5. But I think it's already out on PC, mm-hmm. Path of Exile 2. Silent Hill 2. Got a new look at that. It's the remake of Silent Hill 2. Launches October 8th, and I'm like, all right, okay. that's gonna be fun for a lot of people, not me. It's gonna be fun for a lot of people.
Never played it before.
I played the first one, and I want to say I played the second one back on the Xbox,
mm-hmm.
not 360, the Xbox,
the bulletproof one.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. with the Hulk hand size controller,
the Duke.
Yeah,
they called it. I played it back then.
Mm-hmm.
I never really got into the Silent Hill franchise.
Yeah.
I never did. I never really got into horror franchises, to be honest with you, as far as video games are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I never did. So, the next one they showed off was Monster Hunter Wilds, which is again a game that is not in my wheelhouse. A game that I've tried, a game that I know a lot of people love, but it's a game that I really put, I think more so than I've ever kind of put an effort into a game, I really put effort into Monster Hunter World.
Yeah.
And did a lot, but really came away thinking, yeah, I think I'm done. This is it.
I got the impression for Monster Hunter World, I cannot play this game solo. You have to, to me, in my opinion, you have to play a game like Monster Hunter World with people.
Yeah.
If you're doing it by yourself, you're
doing it wrong. Solo.
I mean, and the excitement wears off, and it's like, meh.
With the exception, I think, of Drunk Degenerates, I believe, was also playing it at the same time. I don't think we ever got paired up for anything.
Yeah.
But I know he was playing it. But I, yeah, Monster Hunter's really never scratched an itch for me.
Yeah.
And then the last thing they showed off, which for me was the best thing that they showed off out of the whole thing. It wasn't a very high bar to reach at that point. but I was rather pleased that they showed off the Astrobot game.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, it's just called Astrobot. Man, yeah. It's I'm glad they didn't kind of leave that character by the wayside and just be like, oh no, we just bring him out whenever we launch new equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, we only bring him out whenever there's new stuff to promote. Mm-hmm. But no, they gave him his own game. And the game that comes with your PS5 that is Astrobot or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Playroom.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, fun, great, totally. And I was so glad that they you know, kind of took that and said, no, we're going to keep going with it. Yeah. It's platformy, but it looks beautiful. It takes advantage of the PlayStation controller, unlike any other game does. And I seriously mean that. There is no game that takes advantage of that controller as good as the Astrobot stuff does. It's fantastic. But otherwise, that state of play was a bust for me. And then when I got done, I thought about it. I was like, wait a second. This is Sony's big E3 thing. You know, this is them showing off, like, here's what we've got coming up. Here's our thing.
They got nothing. Remakes, more of the same stuff we've seen before.
We knew this, though.
Yeah.
We talked about this in prior episodes where Sony was like, look, we got nothing first party coming out for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We got nothing big coming out for the rest of the year. Astrobot is great. I'm glad they have that at least.
Mm-hmm.
But
say the best for last. Yeah.
But a platformer like that being your save it for the end of the show wrap up thing is usually not what you go with, unless you're Nintendo, then you throw out a Mario.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just that was interesting. Looking over that whole thing in my head again, I was like, they opened with Concord, which was PvP. They showed off other games that just did not. It's not one of those things where I picked up my phone and went to, you know, the Discord chat or went to, you know, people, friends and stuff, and be like, oh, did you see this? They just announced blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to look and see the reactions. The only thing I went to look for afterwards, just like Chance of Sinar, I went and was like, am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I looked it up. I was like, oh no, other people think the same exact thing, that this was really kind of lackluster, but they had sort of given us that warning ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
That they really don't have anything. I think the next one might be in September. When they do another one or something, because I feel like they're going to do something to reveal the PlayStation 5 Pro or whatever they want to call it, which is set to release in the fall of this year or holiday this year, so that they can have a machine out there to tout, like, here's where you want to play Grand Theft Auto 5 for 2025. Is on our machine. We got to take a break. We haven't taken one. We got to go. We're not leaving yet. We're going to come back and do whatever we got really quick of, because we just don't have much time left. But this is music from Slave Zero X. It is the track called Prepare to Engage. Anyway, we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from Freedom Planet 2. It's the main menu. Okay. I don't know anything about it. Freedom Planet.
I think it's the Sonic the Hedgehog type game.
Is it?
I think so. Let me check. Make sure. A pretty good Sonic the Hedgehog.
Did you ever play that? Oh god, it was a platformer that released earlier this year by the same team that made Sonic.
What, Sonic Mania?
Yeah.
Pagoda West, Headcanon, and Christian Whitehead Studios.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of the game, but Digital Foundry did a thing on that game and talked about how great it was.
Yeah.
And so just letting you know that whenever you can find that game, you probably will enjoy it. And I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, it's I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, that is it. It was like the Sonic thought it was really well done. Yeah. Overwhelmingly positive on Steam. So yeah.
For what game? Freedom Planet?
Freedom Planet.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I think it just recently released, right?
Well, Freedom Planet. Did you say Freedom Planet 2?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm just looking at
Freedom you're looking Planet. At Freedom Planet.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Big difference.
Let's see. 2. Very positive.
Okay. Nice.
In 2022, that was released. So, yeah.
Good job for them on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Game Industry Biz says PlayStation kicks off industry's not E3 season in a muted style. That was an opinion piece that GameIndustry.biz had done. I'm just reading some of the other things that we had here. Apparently, it is confirmed that Black Ops 6, Call of Duty, under the Microsoft banner now, will be released on Game Pass.
Okay.
They've also said that there won't be a price increase for Game Pass.
But doesn't matter
what they say.
I'm about to say that dramatic pause has a big but.
That's after, the part. Yeah. That's a weird thing. Them saying that it's going to be out on Game Pass is easily something that I could say I believe. Them saying that they're not going to increase the price of Game Pass for whatever reason is something where I'm like, I doubt.
But that don't. You know, believe you.
That whole what is it? L.A. Noir. Doubt.
that image comes. I can see the. I can see.
You
the
see
image
the
now.
Image.
I see the image.
Big
of,
blue X button blue right X, next to it.
Right next to Cole. Yeah.
Doubt.
Yeah. If it's an opportunity to make money, that's what a company's going to do.
Yeah, I know. So I know. Go, and folks. I just don't understand. I don't see how they're not going to raise the price.
Why even tell us that when we know? When you know we won't believe you.
Because even if you just get people who buy it for like a month, use it as a rental service.
Yeah.
Where they just buy the Game Pass for like a month, boom, you know? Mm-hmm. Might as well stick them for all you can, right?
Right.
And raise that price, I suppose. But we shall see on that. Man, all this past week and probably the week prior to that, it has been final shape for Destiny because it comes out Tuesday. It releases on Tuesday. I say it comes out Tuesday. I think it's going down for... I think the game's going to be pulled offline for like 24, 25 hours for them to get the expansion up there. But, yeah. Mm. So, been seeing a lot of that. Watched some reviews. Watched some preview plays because they had a whole big thing where for 12 hours, I believe, some YouTube folks and some websites and stuff got to play the new content. And you know, a lot of what I was reading was like, look, we did not get to play everything, obviously, and we didn't get to see everything, we didn't get to use everything, we only got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some of this, some of that, and so it was one of those situations where they couldn't really give too much of an opinion on it because they didn't get the whole thing, and I don't necessarily mean that they had to get the whole story. But they would only get like a little bit of a story or a little bit of playtime on this new area. or a little bit of a playtime in this new game mode type thing or something like that. It was not, they didn't get a full experience. They got a little column A, a little column B, but not all of it, so that they could kind of get, you know, get a better understanding of it. I don't know why I watched it, just because it's new stuff and it's Destiny, and it's, you know, put 10 years of my life into that game.
Mm-hmm.
More than that, maybe. And, or felt like more than that. but yeah, for it to be coming to a close, or at least coming to the end of that 10-year saga, I'm a bit interested into how it's going to go and how it's going to wrap up. Not necessarily how it's going to be successful, but I'm interested in how they're going to wrap up the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay. It's not something that I feel too bad about.
Besides, you'll see it on YouTube when it's all said and done anyway.
Plus, so yeah. As you've heard, I've been able to play so many other things. Do you think I would have been done with Hellblade if I was still doing Destiny? Do you think I would have been jumping back into Mad Max? Do you think I would have discovered Balatro? Do you think I would have done any of these things had I had Destiny 2 sitting here on my shoulder saying, like, hey, you could be playing me.
Mm-hmm.
And would be playing Destiny 2 to grind that thing. So
silver lining.
I think there is. I think there is.
Yeah. I think we said before, it forced you to get
it did.
That, getting that backlog. Yeah.
I mean, not only did it force me, it sort of, you know, it got me off the bottle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think in a way it sort of did that. It got me out of there. Mm-hmm. I still don't know why. I still don't know what it was.
We said it was like you were teaming with someone and it got
I was
off.
Playing. I was playing Iron Banner and it kicked me off.
Yeah.
But there was no. I mean, that's one of the first things I did when they kicked me off was, or at least when they said, you know, your account's been banned. I went back and I looked at my, because there's websites aplenty that can tell you. You know, what you've been doing, how you've been doing in multiplayer.
Right.
And there ain't a single game I could point you to that would be like, oh, yeah, here's where he's using the exploits. Uh-uh. No. Mm-hmm. I was sucking hard in Iron Banner when it booted me. There was nothing that was going on that was giving me any advantage whatsoever. So,
but I think it was like someone else was, wasn't it?
Well, there is a chance that I was with a team that was doing something, and I don't mean a team. I did team up with LFG to play some other content earlier.
Yeah.
If any of them were doing anything, it could be tied to me, but I don't know. They didn't tell me, and we got to go. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We're back, and we'll be doing it again next week as well, so thank you guys so much. We really have to go. We've got, like, less than a minute before we go. Music here from a game called Deceit. It is the main menu music. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you next Saturday.